welcome to another episode of Be Unique Radio's Manifest Monday Show. I'm your host, Mary Brotherton, and every Monday at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, we release a new episode to help you learn more about the power of manifesting. The more you listen, the more you'll learn. On the second Monday of each month, our sponsor, Jillian Harris, joins us. Visit her at theconsciouscougar.com and learn more about how she uses the power of color, energy, thought, emotions, and crystals to help her manifest and how she can help you learn how to manifest even better. Call 516-418-5651 on the second and fourth Mondays at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time when I am live with Jillian or possibly other guests. Be sure to follow Be Unique Radio on Blog Talk Radio or your other favorite platforms so you don't miss a single one of our most popular podcasts. Now let's get to today's topic.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mary. I'm here with Manifest Monday on July 11th, which is especially good day for me. It's 7-11, and who can go wrong with that? Those are two magical numbers, and it looks like I've stalled just long enough. I was waiting for Jillian to get in because she was having some trouble joining the show. How are you out in California, my friend?
I'm good. It's a beautiful sunny morning, but yes. I think the computer, whatever, didn't recognize me because I'm not coming from where I'm normally coming from.
Well, you're always in a different place anyway.
True, but
physically and otherwise.
Exactly, but this one is all kinds of extra this morning.
Ooh, can we talk about
the
extra?
I'm actually in the midst of a hike, and I just said, you know, I just have to do it because I can't let technology is supposed to make it so I can do anything anywhere.
It's supposed to, yes.
Yeah. The only issue right now is I just came up a great big mountain. So I see a rock, and I'm going to sit on it. Here
good.
It is.
Whew. Well, yesterday, because of my husband's physical therapy after his surgery, we have been climbing. We've been starting out walking. Now he decided he wants to climb. He's younger than I am, and he's more athletic than I am.
Okay.
So I'm taking this as a challenge to get my less youthful, more sedentary body into shape. And
yes.
The first day we found a parking garage and we climbed 8 flights of stairs, and he climbed them like grandpa. And I was like,
right.
This is great. I love this. But I could go faster than him, so I'd wait till he got up a couple of, you know, he'd get up one flight, and then I'd go the next.
Right.
So we skipped a day because he knew that I needed to rest. You know, you work out, then you rest, and you work out some more. Well, yesterday was workout,
right.
And he said, I'm not telling you that you have to do this, but I'm going to take this these 8 flights twice. I said, well, so am I.
Wow.
And like a dummy.
Wow.
You know, I'm one of these people who can't turn down a challenge or a dare, unfortunately.
Right, yeah.
So I decided to go up, and he could hear me huffing and puffing at the
sixth floor.
He said, I'm not going to tell you not to come up with me. He said, but it sounds like you might need to take a break.
Right.
I said, tell you what, I'll go out into the actual garage and I'll walk because there's more fresh air out there. I'll walk
right.
out in the garage and I'll come back. Well, by the time I came back, he had already gone up to the 8th floor and had come down to where I was. So it worked out time-wise perfectly. But I was able to walk on flat ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he came ready, you know, he took a break and we went back up to the climb it again. He said, now, if this is too much for you, don't push yourself. I don't want you to get hurt. Go sit
right.
down somewhere. I'm like, are you kidding me, you young whippersnapper? You're not going to outdo me. Well, now I'm paying for it.
Right.
But it'll be worth it in the end. Because by the time
Worth it.
Yes. I told him yesterday, I said, how come getting fat and out of shape wasn't hard like getting fit and in shape is?
Yeah. Well, we're signed up for the challenge, I think. And then this is part of what I want to talk about today. And I definitely want to contribute a color and a familiar stone that we've talked about before to help with the effort and the intention of wellness and maximum fitness. So, you know, I was at the bank the other day, and a weird moment happened, kind of weird, but not really, but it was interesting, but kind of not really, but actually, yes. Okay, so there's a gentleman, and he was at the teller. I go to a small bank where everybody knows everybody's name, you know, even the customer somewhat.
Like
so
the bar, cheers.
Yes, exactly, I swear.
Are you Norm?
Anyway, so, right. So I'm at the Malibu branch, which is even cozier, and there's a gentleman at the window next to me, and he's talking to the teller and explaining that he's, you know, overweight, and they want to know how his doctor visit had gone, you know, how things are, and so he was giving them an update, and it had to do with the fact that he had gained so much body mass. He was 100 pounds overweight, and his heart had enlarged, and I forget what he told me about the symptoms on that, but he went to the doctor. He ended up being in the hospital for a couple of days, and now he's on a regimen to, you know, bring himself to health again. But there was all this conversation all of a sudden about hearts, and then the teller that he was talking to is a woman who's she's girthy as well, you know, but you can see that she works out like it's a muscular girthy. And you can tell that she's trying to also decrease her BMI within those muscles. But so then she said, yeah, I was weightlifting because, you know, I'm trying to, you know, pull it together and everything. I'm like, right, you go, girl. And she said, but I ended up creating a high blood pressure situation as a result of, I guess, only weightlifting, and she wasn't doing any cardio. And maybe it's different for everybody, but I'd kind of heard that before, that, you know, with weightlifting, you increase your blood pressure, with cardio, you decrease it. And so I don't know, that's something to look at. But anyway, so now then all of a sudden she's on blood pressure medication. So then the gentleman was gone. And so I said, okay, well, I didn't want to add to the story while he was here and we have a great big old rap session, you know, at the bank. But oh, to the MG, I was having these heart palpitations. And so that led me, because I would take my pulse when this would happen, and it felt like it was an irregular heartbeat, right? So now
right.
I start looking into this and stuff, and I'm, you know, YouTubing and I'm Googling and everything. And one of the things I'm seeing, you know, I am overweight. And so I see this one article about how some patients with heart palpitations are assisted greatly, like the palpitations are reduced with increased cardio. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And so I start doing that, and I definitely notice that I'm not having them anymore. And then when I would take days off, you know, just give me like 3 or 4 days off, and then they start to kind of sort of come back again. So I also then was noticing commercials about palpitations, which is weird. I don't know if this has anything to do with it's just odd that after the COVID pandemic or, you know, in the midst of it, that now we're seeing this out here in California. Anyway, there's a public service announcement. It feels like a public service announcement, but it's actually sponsored by Pfizer. And but it's like, if you have heart palpitations, yeah, and if you're feeling shortness of breath, and if you're feeling this, that, and the other thing, and I wasn't feeling any of those other things except for the occasional palpitations, they're saying this could lead to stroke or heart attack. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of spooky, you know. So I text my regular doctor, and I'm like, yo, irregular heartbeat, what do you think? He's like, you need to get a monitor. So he gives me the number to a cardiologist, and I make an appointment, which I ditch a couple times, and then I show up, and then I don't show up for the stress test because I think I'm going to die on the stress test. Have you ever taken a stress test?
No, but my life is an ongoing stress test.
Okay, but wait. Have you ever seen anybody do one? Like, oh, my God, you're on a treadmill, okay? And yeah. They want to get your heartbeat up to a certain place, and then they're going to be basically, you know, looking to see how your heart is functioning while it's at that place. And the longer you can do it, the more information that they can get in data and whatnot. And,
exactly.
You know, one out of a thousand? I forget what the number is, but I'm sitting there, I'm reading the wall when I finally did go for it, when I braved up and went, and I wore a T-shirt. I have to show you. It says, sorry I'm late. I didn't want to come.
I need to get me one of those for my colonoscopy.
Totally. Exactly. So anyway, I do it, but, you know, I'd done it before, but this time I just felt so much more out of shape. And that's one of the things I wanted to touch on. And I have not had an opportunity to really research this, to bring forth anything of value yet. Maybe you've got something, but I'll definitely research it and bring it forth in the future. And covering this on theconsciouscougar.com, as well as on Instagram, follow me as I am going to allow the following of as I do this, Instagram at theconsciouscougar. But so there is definitely something that happens to our energy level when we reach a certain age. And maybe it's not exactly, maybe I'm not saying it right. But
no,
there
no,
seems
you're
to be
saying
a...
it perfectly fine, but I'll tell you how Curtis says it. His 50-year warranty has run out.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. There is something to be said about that. I think our bodies just finally let out a big, gigantic sigh and say, okay, I'm done. I'm tired of running around like a crazy person, and I'm not going to have to do that anymore. I'm just going to chill out for the rest of my life. And
I'm wondering,
I
think it's part of a pendulum swing, depending on where the ball was dropped from, so to speak, you know? So if you were more highly active physically to begin with, then it's not going to feel that way. Whereas I was, my perception was that I was imprisoned by my occupation, by a desk job, by, you know, what I call sitting disease. And so, you know, that what happens, muscle deteriorate. I mean, you know, your muscles go away and atrophy-ish. And your stamina depletes. And so now then you combine that with what's naturally happening as we age. And, boy, you stand up to do something like go for a hike up the mountain, and it becomes a big deal all of a sudden. Whereas, you know, you remember just a few years ago, it was not a big deal. It was kind of exhilarating.
It's like you turn a light switch and realize you have the power all along.
Yes, you did. But here's the thing. It's so much harder now. I think this is the part why so many folks get so flabby so quick after 50 to fight it by any means necessary. That's why I always say that on my Conscious Cougar
stuff. Yes.
You know, to fight that by any means necessary, to fight the apathy about it. Like, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is just because most folks are, you know, flabby at this age.
You want to know weird? Okay. Weird but not weird, as you say. Strange but not so strange. All of my life. Now, I was born typical weight child, 6.5, 7 pounds. I don't know. I wasn't one of the big ones in my family. I was anemic.
Right.
I was skinny. My father called me Weasel. And
okay.
I guess because I slipped out of his hands and fell on my head once or twice too many times. I'm not sure. There's no family documentation on that, I can promise you. But
right.
I know that I know that there was always a joke in my house that the reason my sister right immediately below me was so skinny was because I knocked her out of the way to eat all of her food. I grew up a chubby child. I also grew up a bookworm. I was always reading or writing. There's that sitting disease. But, I mean, I'd go outside and I'd run and play and ride my bike like all the other kids. And it was like every calorie that they burned fell on my body. I was doing the same things they were doing, but I got fatter. And for most of my adult life, I spent, I don't know how much time and energy, meal planning, exercising, aerobics, whatever the fad was at the time, I did it. Richard Simmons, Julia, whatever her name is, you know, whatever, you know, this girl, that girl, the one in the pretty tights, the one in the leg warmers. I did it all. Ride my bike, walk. My ex-husband said, well, you don't need to exercise. Just go clean the yard. You know, go cut the grass. Go trim the trees. Go dust, vacuum. And so for years, I would eat, munching on carrot sticks and celery sticks, I was starving myself trying to be his ideal of beauty. And then I got a divorce, and I said few very pretty Sunday school words about my life and said, you know what? I don't have to live for anybody anymore. I just have to live for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I started dancing on a regular basis and the weight started falling off. And then I got married to a man who did not see my body. He saw me. And he didn't care about my body, which in a way was sad too, because then I had nothing, I had no external barometer, but in
but
a
so,
way
but
that
see,
was
but
good
so,
too.
Yeah, because, but see, because that's what I was going to say. It never, ever, ever needs to be about somebody outside of us, you know?
Exactly.
And
but
it
I thought,
really
I thought
always,
for a while,
it always.
I thought for a while that it had to be about somebody else because I had sisters who told me that it was about them.
I'm so sorry. That's terrible.
The way I looked was a direct reflection on my sister, my older sister. But and she does listen to this show sometimes. Jane, I adore you.
Hi, sis.
So many ways. And I love you. And sometimes I don't like you very much, but I do love you. But
oh,
she
my
knows
gosh.
That. And she would say, this is something only a sister could say. But my point is, at some point in time, and it did come after the lockdown, there was this revelation that, you know what, I am good enough exactly as I am. I don't have to conform to anybody's standard. However, there was this caveat that came around the same time. I was actually doing something very mundane, as most brilliance pops in during the mundane, when I remembered the saying that you are a vessel for God's Spirit. You're a vessel for the Holy Spirit. And I had always heard that, but I thought nothing of it. Thought nothing of it at all. And then all of a sudden it hit me. Holy snacks, you know, I am carrying God. The universe lives within me. You know, source, spirit, God, universe, Bob and Todd, everything, everybody.
Limitlessness.
To me. I felt that limitlessness. And I thought, oh, my God, I need to start taking care of this body better because I still have a lot to do. And it doesn't matter if I live one day or 1,000 more years in this body. I need to do it mindfully so that the body and spirit can enjoy the experience together instead of thinking of them as separate entities, as I've done for as long as my husband's been alive, at least.
Right. Well, I hear you, and I applaud you on that. For me, I want to be even more conscious about it, realizing that enjoyment can be picture perfect. Like, I don't want to enjoy it from a wheelchair or from
exactly.
a retirement home. I can, you know, mesh and enjoy whatever my predicament is, but that's not the predicament that I want. And so I actually want, do you know Ernestine Shepherd? Have you ever seen a photo of her?
Yes, my
this
God, my God.
This woman is my body idol. What?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes. Okay. And
something
I say to those out there listening,
to.
Yes, those who are listening who don't know who Ernestine Shepherd is, when you Google her, the photos that you will see of this perfectly toned, muscular, but feminine, but just so fit woman, those photos, she's in her 80s. Okay. 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 And she started lifting weights when she was 57 with her sister. And they made a pact together, but I think she was like slacking. And then something happened with her sister passed away. And so in a commitment to her sister, she picked up and did not let go and started doing even, what do you call it when you like are on stage showing your muscles?
Bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Bodybuilding competition.
Yes, competitively, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and
well,
so
they have,
she has
they,
this.
They have different levels, and I don't know which one
yes.
you're thinking of specifically. But
right,
like muscles,
but you know, when you stand there
woman,
in a bikini, you stand there in a bikini, and you make muscles all over your body, and you show people,
yes.
and you take different poses, and you go like
and
that, and make muscles.
It's not just
okay.
a bikini; it's like a Baywatch type bikini. It's
totally.
Holy
yes.
mama.
Yes, and she's 80 something, and then she goes up there
like
and does like, you know,
or 86.
I don't know where she is now, but she's still active. She still teaches classes. She's still, you know, you can ask her to give me 20 push-ups and she'll give you 50, like, you know. So when I know that, you know, and when somebody passes me up this mountain while I'm sitting on this rock, grateful to God for rocks, okay, with smooth enough
yeah.
surfaces for me to sit on. Yeah. And they're way older than me. I'm just like, damn, really? But yes, and they're inspiration, and we can have it just like that. So my goal is Ernestine Shepherd. That's what I want to be when I grow up.
You know, what I remember
by any
about
means
her.
Necessary.
One of the things that I remember about Ernestine Shepherd is her captivating smile. She is
yeah.
so joy-filled. She seems
yeah.
so happy to be where she
yeah.
is.
Oh, yeah. You should hear her speak. She speaks about it. It's just, it's pretty fulfilling. It's pretty, you can't help but go, okay, enough of this, you know. procrastination and whatnot. You just gotta get up, make it happen by any means necessary. Just do it, just one foot
it.
In front of the other. And one of the things that I have to use tools sometimes, because I've watched myself plan on doing this hike for months, day after day after day. Tomorrow morning is going to be it. Tomorrow morning is going to be it. This morning is going to be it, and then finding things that, oh, damn, it's 11 a.m. I missed my opportunity, you know? So, yeah. So one of the tools that I use is a nighttime thing where as I'm falling asleep, and I think we've talked about this, it's a manifestation tool, but as you're relaxing and going to sleep and really not thinking about sleep, but knowing that's your intention as you lay there, you're getting a picture. I'm going to speak present tense in my, for me. I'm getting a picture of me the next morning in it, like I'm doing it like the morning has arrived. And and I am in my tennis shoes. I'm in my, leggings and my t-shirt and whatnot, and I'm on the mountain. I am where I actually physically am. Yeah, and I can now make my way up this mountain. You know, it's actually, it's just the steepest all get out street, and there are houses next to me, so I'm not like in the wilderness, you know, because at this point in my physical fitness, if there were a mountain lion or something, it would win without question.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, and it's rattlesnake season, so I do inclines. I'll go to a neighborhood like this one right here with the steepest freaking incline, and sometimes I'll scout them on a map, my Google map, and see where there's stuff to sit on. I am literally sitting on a rock, but I planned this. So, yeah, but so anyway, just to, persevere and to move mountains, just keep, like, I see a rock, moving the rock up the mountain by any means necessary. And that by any means necessary, I just want to say it over and over. So seeing that in my head, seeing me do it, I'm in it. And somehow, at some point, while I'm picturing this, I pass out and I'm asleep. And by letting myself go to sleep like that, my subconscious takes over, makes it easier.
Yes.
So in the morning to just get up and just do it. So it's not been a surprise for me in the last few weeks that I've been able to, you know, I find myself actually out here doing it, doing the things, and more than I thought that I was going to do based on what I did the night before.
I'm going to practice that because that's not how I've done it. And the way that I do it is successful as long as I do it correctly. Because I always, on days that I have a manifest show, I always set an alarm on my phone for 15 minutes before the show, just in case I get busy and I get distracted.
Okay.
And some days when I go to bed, like really tired, like I was yesterday after climbing 16 flights of stairs, I don't know what my body's going to do the next morning if I leave it to its own, whatever you call it, means. So I tell myself, you know, I'm going to wake up before the clock goes off.
Right.
Well, big mistake in doing that. That is really generic. So guess how many times I woke up last night.
Oh, no.
Every hour, on the hour, my body goes, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Are we ready to go?
Because
I wake
God.
Up with this wide awake alertness. And then I have to go talk myself back down to sleep.
Right.
So I'm going to put a time on my usually what I do, you know, if I set my alarm for, let's just say I set it for 9 o'clock so that I don't oversleep. And I tell myself I want to wake up no later than 8:30, which I mean, by 8:30 in the morning, you've already climbed half a mountain. But I tell myself whatever time I want, a half an hour early, and I'll wake up usually between, 30 minutes and 31 minutes before the hour, exactly when I need to.
Right.
But if I don't give it a specific time, my body just goes into a hyperactive, energized bunny mode. Like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Can we go? I'm ready.
Right.
And then,
God.
What is so funny is I don't feel the least bit deprived because in between that hour of, let's hit it, I am sleeping like a baby. I never have problems sleeping.
Me either.
I feel so bad for those people who say, I don't get enough sleep in the night. I'm like, whose fault is that?
I know. I could sleep on a rock, I tell you. It's terrible.
So how high is this mountain you're climbing?
So,
I know it's the Mamma Jamma of mountains.
Yeah, it is. It's Victory Boulevard. If anybody knows West Hills, and it is west of Valley Circle, and it just goes straight up so intensely that every block I don't know how high it is. I can look on my map. When I get home, I'll take a look and see what the elevation is, what the difference is between the bottom of the street and the top. But it's very intense, and it's about a mile of that behavior.
Okay.
And I just did some more because the house I was next to, their gardener was coming for me with his lawn edger thing, and it was not good acoustics. So I had to move, yes. Yeah,
that happened.
So a little huff and puff because I went uphill just a little bit more.
Don't you love it? Now, you've been is the fact that you've been sitting and talking with me going to interfere with your momentum that you had set for the day?
No, what's really cool is I had started about 20 minutes prior. So I'm up here, you know, and I still got to make my way around and down again. So that's one of the things I like about walking versus dancing versus, you know, a lot of other kinds of exercise, because you got to get back to somewhere. Or, I mean, you could call, you know, Lyft or Uber, but but I'm not going to do that. I've thought about it.
Hey, dude, I'm up on here on this mountain. You got to come fetch me.
Come get me, exactly. Oh, my God. But so listen, I'm not looking at the clock, so it's up to you. What?
You know, what you need to do is set up Bartholomew like Kit, the Knight Rider.
Yes,
so you just talk into your watch and say, all right, come pick me up, Bartholomew. I'm ready.
Exactly. Bart, come get me, buddy. Exactly. But I just want to say to you that I can't watch a clock, so you have to tell me when we're time's up. But I didn't do the stones and the color for this
yet.
So carnelian, we've talked about it before. It's my go-to stone for energy.
I love that
for
stone.
Yeah, invigoration for, you know, coming from your second chakra and physical fitness and stuff. It's right there to help you in that way and to help me. And I've got a little piece of carnelian in my left bra. Is that too much information?
No.
But that's where I put it.
I actually have a little pouch that I wear sometimes if I want to wear one of my more scratchy stones. And it's called Crystals in My Bra. And it's just a little, I don't know, kind of a velvety pouch that you tie to your bra strap. And you stick it wherever you want.
Right.
And it protects you. Because my biggest worry is that by the end of the day, I will forget that I had put a stone in my bra. And so when I
at the
end of
the
day, I rip everything off, it falls to the floor and cracks.
Nothing breaks, but yeah, things fall to the floor all the time.
I'm sure you already know that if you have a crystal and it breaks, that's actually a good sign.
There are two schools of thought on that, and I'm glad you went that direction because that's where I am.
Oh, yeah. I'm to the part of, because when I first would drop stones out of my bra, dropping stones out of my bra. You know, I'd sit there and go, oh my God, I broke it. Where's the crazy glue? You know, what if I glue it back together? But that always seems sacrilegious to me. So then I'd say, oh well, I've got two stones now. They're both going to cut me to death on one edge, but I've got two of them. And then I learned what was happening for me a lot of times was the stone would break, either slap in two in the middle, or it would break and like splinter off, and you could never find the pieces till you stepped on them. But that is a sign that the stone has served its purpose for you for now.
Right.
So move on.
I don't believe that it means that stone is so damaged that we should get rid of it. That's another school of thought. That when you break the stone, you crack it or something. Yeah.
I take the splintered little tiny pieces. I have a small mouth glass bottle. And I put the broken pieces in there. So it's like a little crystal mosaic type thing.
That's
They're
beautiful.
Still serving me a
but
purpose, yeah.
Also, we just got to be logical about this. I mean, some of these myths and things are just kind of crazy. I mean, how do we get these stones and crystals from the caves and mountains where we get them from in the first place? We crack them and break them, you know? So they were just fine when we cracked it and broke it the first 200 times to make the small enough piece to sell you at the store for $20. So
hey,
what if we crack it, broke it again, and now it's half that, or a quarter of that, or whatever, or three quarters?
I have a piece of jasper that I would say is a two-fisted size. It's beautiful. It's a red and brown jasper, and it's been sculpted and shaped
right,
so that it fits your fingers. You can hold it. It's got a point, so you could hold it like a weapon if you thought about it, now that I'm looking
right
at it differently. But it probably weighs 2 to 3 pounds. It's a huge chunk of jasper.
Right.
But I don't remember where I was going with my story. I'm sorry.
I think we were talking about when they break them and, you know, when we break them. And so to me, when a stone does get broken,
oh,
a crack or whatever.
Yeah.
At
Go
most,
ahead.
I like to place my hand over that place where it's fractured and, you know, acknowledge spirit energy, you know, life force energy coming in through my like head channel, filling up my body and coming out my hand into that stone. And this is basically some Reiki action, I'm telling you, in case you don't know Reiki, and to heal that stone and consciously saying, you know, oh my gosh, I hope you're okay. You know, I'm sorry if that hurt, but you are still so powerful and thank you, you know, to that stone. Or those stones now. And, you know, and then I've shared them before. I've been like, okay, I'm going to give this piece to Kathy, my friend, you know, and I'll keep this piece or whatever. So
right,
it's, yeah, it can still be a continued blessing and the stone or crystal can still serve you. So that's the carnelian that is helping. And then, of course, the colors of the reds and the oranges and some yellow, too, but really the reds and the oranges for in terms of assisting you in getting your athletic limitlessness up and, you know, expressed. That would be the colors to go for.
Interesting, because before my husband's surgery, I asked him to come to my window. I keep all of my stones on a windowsill, so they're always receiving sunlight and moonlight if necessary. And then I go and play and touch them, and we talk to each other. But I had him come and look at my stones. I said, I want you to pick out a couple that are calling to you. And
right,
he went straight toward the brown and reds.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to go grab. I thought he was going to go grab an amethyst, because that's his birthstone. But nope, he steered
right
away from that.
Right.
I was very pleased that he picked the stone.
Yeah, and it wasn't that he steered away from it so much, but I think his whole being was calling on what he needed in that moment, which was those colors. Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
he really enjoyed being asked or invited, I guess you could say, to do that.
Right.
It
yeah
made him very
also
happy.
To me, the other part of making this happen that is so exciting in terms of like handcrafting it, shape shifting consciously what it is that I want to happen, you know, oh, let me just finish. Like, I left you hanging about my heart palpitations.
Oh, yes. We still have about 10, 15 minutes.
Okay, cool. Okay, but so, well, I won't drag it out, but let me just get it out right now, what ended up happening with that. So I think I read something like 1 out of 1,000 people pass out on the freaking treadmill when they're doing the stress test. Yeah, something like that. It's like 1 out of 1,000 or something, and then a little bit bigger of a number actually die on the damn thing. So I'm like, oh, my good Lord, have mercy. Am I going to be one of those people today? Because I just felt so out of shape, and I thought they needed your heart rate to get to, like, 140. But so I had this really cool technician, and she was like, don't worry about what heart rate it is. We just want you to do as much as you can for as long as you comfortably can. And so, you know, there was that. But what I noticed was how much weaker I was this time. Last time I did a stress test, they were trying to get my heart rate up, and they do this thing where they gradually, they start, the treadmill is going slow, and it's on a slight incline, and they gradually increase the incline percentage, and they kept doing it and increasing it, and I kept going, okay, breathe deeper and slower, you know, to control my heart rate because I was so fit at that time. And they were like, I can't get her heart rate up. I'm like, oh, you want my heart rate to go up. They're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, watch this. All I had to do was start jogging for a minute, and there it went. So, and I was
tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you.
Exactly. I thought you were trying to see how fit I am and everything. So I was impressed with that. But this time I did not have that control. I didn't have that. I was like giving it all I've got from the moment I stepped on the damn thing. And I think my heart rate only got to like 135 or something. But apparently there's a percentage of, you know, so long as I get to 80%, of something, and I got to 83%. So they got enough data is all I'm trying to say. And then I come out of the stress test and they put on a monitor. So I'm going to wear this monitor for 24 hours. Now, my palpitations thing, oh my God, the guy is following me again. They keep making me walk. Hey, maybe I go downhill this time. Anyway, so I put the, you know, you take your car in because it made a noise. And then you get to the mechanic and it doesn't make the noise anymore.
Yes, I do.
And you're like, no, seriously, I did. I'm telling you it happened. Well, I was worried that was going to happen. But it just so happened that this was a day. My heart was like, yeah, no, I'm going to flutter for you. So I went through the day. And I guess, you know, with that workout on the treadmill, which damn near killed me, it was doing things, so I was really grateful for 24 hours that, you know, here and there it would do its thing. But so now I take it back, and I have an appointment with the doctor, and he's like, that's called hiccups. He goes,
really?
You're not having palpitations. Yes. He goes, it's totally normal. It happens to all of us, different degrees to each of us. But
and
your
you've
heart
never
is
had
hiccuping.
Before?
I've had hiccups. I never had my heart have hiccups. What the actual heck is that about? So he gives me a description, you know, of what's happening mechanically, which I could not describe to you right now. But it did bring me a lot of peace of mind, you know, to know that it was just a hiccup. And he goes, there is medication if it becomes something where it just really bothers you. You know, you let me know. And sometimes I do think that. I'm like, oh, my God. I don't feel like moving right now because it's just like hiccuping. But it's been a lot better now, and I'm just not letting myself get out of fitness again because that's what keeps it under control. No hiccups.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my story.
Well, you know
I'm
what?
I'm glad I braved that. Yeah.
You did good. You got through right in the nick of time. We got about 60 seconds to go.
Awesome.
I want to tell everybody to make sure they check out theconsciouscougar.com.
Yes.
And learn more about the amazing things that you do with your life and how to manifest the life you want. Because that's what you're doing.
In any area. Yes, anything.
And if you don't know how, reach out to me through beunique.org or reach out to Jillian through theconsciouscougar.com. And we can probably help steer you in the right direction. And now that
Absolutely. We
talk about Ernestine Shepherd, I think it's going to be a competition to see if the old lady gets it or if the younger cougar gets it. We'll see who gets to.
Yeah.
I think you'll probably be in shape before I will, but But round is a shape too. So it, there you go.
Yes. Exactly. Oh my God. Love you, girlfriend, and love everybody out there. Talk to you next time.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening today. Remember to come back every Monday at 11 a.m. for another Manifest lesson. The second and fourth Mondays, I am live, and my guests always have something interesting to share. Be sure to follow Be Unique Radio on Blog Talk Radio or your favorite platform, and check out all our other Manifest Monday shows. If you have questions, want me to guide you on your Manifest journey, or would like a transcript of this show, just reach out to me through BeUnique.org or email me at ManifestMondayShow@gmail.com. Until then, stay present, stay positive, and always remain grateful. I'm your host, Mary Brotherton. Thank you for joining us today.